Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You too. Time to talk about it with your host, Pastor GWG Reporter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. City of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Beautiful, beautiful day. Greetings to all of you that are listening today, especially those that listen on a continual basis. We want to send you, lots of love and hugs, letting you know today that we still love you. We are praying for you, and we thank God for you that are praying for us. So we just want to give you a good greeting today. Now, listen. If you really, really appreciate this broadcast, why don't you call us today while we're on the air at 347-857-3925. Let us know what God has done for you, what you're looking for him to do also. Praise God. And we're going to agree with you in prayer that it happens, okay? So do that today, 347-857-3925. And we want to just give you a little time that you can do what? Talk about the goodness of Jesus. Not your goodness, but the goodness of Jesus. And tell us what he's done for you and you and you. Okay, we appreciate you. Now, we're praying for Steve Parrish, whose dad passed away there in St. Thomas. We're praying for him and his family today. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask that you give the Parrish family, Lord, comfort at this time, God. And Father God, let them know that you are still God. You don't make a mistake. In the name of Jesus today, take them through this ordeal at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank God for Renika. I think that's how you say it. Renika Sims being found. She was missing, and she has been found. We thank God for being found. Now, if you got somebody missing too, just give us a call and let us know. We'll pray for them till something happen. You find out something. We want to be a part of that so that you can know that God cares about you regardless of what's going on in your life, okay? Amen, amen. And Father God, we ask you to touch Mrs. Dean, Lord. Touch her right now, breathing problems. In the name of Jesus, God, let her breathe well, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch Veronica Vickers also today, God. In the name of Jesus right now, touch her wherever she is, Father God. Let her know, God, that you're still the same God, Lord. You carry her through every trial and tribulation right now in Jesus' mighty name, and we give you praise. We thank God for Matthew Charles coming out of the coma. We thank God for it. Oh, what prayer will do. What prayer will do. We thank God for that testimony. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch Bert Benjamin right now in Jesus' name right there in the hospital where he was with the stroke. God, we pray for him to have full recovery, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. Father, we ask you to touch Ida. Stevens, Father, Ida Stevens. We ask you to touch her through her legs, God, where she's having poor circulation. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch and deliver right now. Father, at this time, we ask you to touch Eurisha Merchant, God. Touch her. Touch her body right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. feet. Give her the strength she needs today, God, to continue the task that she set out to do today in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for touching them right now. We thank you, Lord, for touching our friend Elizabeth there in Connecticut. We thank you for touching her today, God. We thank you for touching Ness Ritter, God. We thank you for touching her there in St. Thomas there, Father. We thank you for touching her and her family today, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask you to touch all our friends, Lord God. Touch, Lord God, our friend Sydney McKenzie, though, there in the UK. Touch him also today, Father, the pastor there. Touch him right now, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for touching Abigail, God, right now, Father God. Lord God, keep her mind, Lord. Keep her mind today, God. Lord, be her guide, her friend right now. She needs you in her life, God. She's just 3 years old, Father God, but she needs you more than ever at this time for the tragedy that occurred in her life. Father, in Jesus' name, God, speak to her, God, through her, and keep her, and God, hold her in your hand, and let her know that you really love her, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for today. We ask you to touch all the pastors, God, that are going through today, Father. We ask you, Lord God, to make a way for them out of nowhere for them today. Lord God, they need your help, Lord. So many, Lord God, are throwing in the towel and closing the doors and everything, Father. Father, help those that you called, God. Lord God, those that you didn't call, let the door stay closed. But those that you call, God, help them through, God, this time that they're going through, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I give you praise for it today, Lord, because they need help. They need help today. We all need help from time to time, physically, financially, God, mentally, God. Oh, Father, sometimes our bodies are so tired, Lord, we can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. Are we discouraged, Father God? Help today, God. Help them, Lord God. They are your men and women of God. Oh, Father, and we thank you for the help today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise, God. We just thank you because we love you so much. Yes, we really, really do. We really do love you. I know I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, let me give y'all a little word here today. Bless God. I believe I had given it to you before, but it bears repeating. You say, having knowledge is not the same as having wisdom. The true test of wisdom is knowing how and when to act according to God's will. Having knowledge is not the same as having wisdom. The true test of wisdom is knowing how and when to act according to God's will. Oh, my, my, my. We act so much, so many times out of season, you know, and we don't do things according to God's will because we don't even ask him, is it your will? So how can you do things according to God's will if you don't ever ask him, is it his will that you do thus and so? Go so-and-so place. Do so-and-so. We just don't bother, do we? We don't think he's concerned enough for us to ask, do we? Now, praise God, praise God. We ain't going to try to meddle with you too much. Praise God. I know you call that meddling. But you know you need meddling sometimes, you see. Yes, yes, and we'll straighten out after a while. Hey, we all get straightened out. Amen, I get straightened out. But have you ever been talking to God or you may be a preacher or whatever, and God corrects you right while you got your mouth open? The word that you speak is the word for you. You ever thought, you ever heard of that? Y'all don't hear that. You don't want to admit it anyway, do you? But you want people to think you perfect. I'm not perfect myself, you know. Praise God. I bear the act of being chastised. You know, God will chastise me with the quickness. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm glad about that, you know. He don't let me get away with nothing. I don't know how people get away with so many things they can, but God does not let me get away with not a thing. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, today is a good day. Every day is a good day to me because I'm alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter what condition I'm in, I'm alive. I still got my right mind. Oh, yeah, I appreciate that, having my right mind. Do you have your right mind today? My. You ought to thank God. If you don't think it for nothing, they're thanking for having a mind today. Oh, my God. You don't know. Honey, think about how many people running around here don't have the right mind. Look at the TV. Every time you look at the news, you see a whole lot of people that don't have their right mind. My. Lord, I thank you for it. One more time. Amen. Each day that he allowed me to come forth, to just be alive and to talk a decent conversation. Oh, my God. It, I appreciate these little things. Those are little things, you know, that we forget to thank God for. We take them for granted. We take these things lightly. You see what I'm saying? So I don't take all these things lightly, you know, because when you look around at people today and how they talk and how they act and react and all of this, you see that so half of these people's minds gone. You know, they don't have a mind, all right? And it can only do what's there. If ain't nothing left but a shell, it can only be shell-shocked. Okay, praise God, hallelujah. So we think about that sometime, okay? Think about God, what God done already done. He's done much for you. You ought to praise him much, huh? I'm getting like the island people now. You want to praise him much, huh? Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Somebody, they want to know, am I from the island, of Tampa? Tampa, Florida. That's the island I'm from. Tampa, Florida. Ebo City. That's where I'm from. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. So we thank God for those that's with us today. And listen, the bishop is still here, y'all. Still here. Amen. He's still here. No, he ain't. I don't think he quit his employment yet. Amen. He's just recuperating from a broken foot, ankle. Okay, that's all. He just had to get healed, you know. Yes. So y'all praying for him, right? Well, you ought to call him and tell him, say, Bishop, I'm praying for you. You know, let him know you prayed for him. That might help him get well quick, won't it? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory. You say you got jokes, aren't you, don't you? Praise God. I just like to be funny sometimes. I like to see you laugh, you know, and say, oh, that's a crazy lady. I know you don't mean I'm crazy. I know you don't. You just say these crazy things that I say make you laugh. I know. I like to tickle your fancy, huh? Amen. You say, why are you taking so long? Because I'm waiting to get there, okay? Amen. Can I wait for the Lord? Do you mind? That's your problem. You're so in a hurry. You can't wait for the Lord to get the word to you. Is this the real word you want me to deliver today or not? You see what I'm saying? And you don't want to wait, you know. You just want to jump on out there and get in that muddy waters. Get in the deepest part of the ocean, and you know you can't swim. And they ain't got no boat. Praise our God. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start something today. I believe we will kind of talk about this today. Something that most of us do not want to face or to do. And we want to think about it. Think about it now. When God tells you to do something, you do the option. Hmm. Come think about it now. When he tell you to do something, you want to do the opposite all the time. But we're going to talk about a few people in the Bible today that was doing what God said. Okay? And I'll start with Genesis, the 20th chapter here. Let's see. I'll read it just a little bit and go on pretty, I'll go on pretty fast and get through that. And Abraham, from the first verse, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Now you tell me God can't talk to you, huh? You tell me God can't tell you what you're doing, hmm? Now, he tells you what you're doing and what, and it's not right. You just ignore it, don't you?
Come on now.
You see what I'm saying? We ignore when God, you know, pay attention to them dream things. Listen here, this man, really, he wouldn't be called per se a man of God like Abraham was, okay? Because here he's going to take the woman because she looked good, you see. So he just taking her like he usually do because he the head honcho there, you see. He the king, you see. So he just takes what he wants, and he take the woman. So the Lord done disturbed him, told him, you is a dead man. Now, if the Lord got into your dream and told you you was dead man or woman because of something you done, you'd be shaking and quaking all over the place. You wouldn't be able to get nothing done. What's this dream about? What's this? What that mean? What that mean? I'm dying? What, you know, you'd be asking all kind of questions. So God explained to him, said, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother in the integrity of my heart. And innocency of my hands have I done this. In other words, my man copping a plea. You see what I'm saying? When he said you a dead man, he had good sense. He was not crazy by a long shot. He called him what? He said, Lord. Lord. Huh? He addressed the fact that this can't be nothing else but the Lord. See, you can try to ignore it and say, what is this? Who is this? You can go and do all of that to make an excuse to do what you're doing. But this man had sense to know if God said you are a dead man, you are a dead man. You get it? And he knew. Evidently, he has been acquainted with the fact that there is a God. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against, oh, good Lord, did you see what God told him? I withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. I had a rein on this thing. You hear what I'm saying? Because I know you was ignorant. I know you ain't had good sense. I know you ain't know what you was doing. Have y'all ever thought of that half of the time, the stuff you be intended to do, God hold you and keep you from doing it? You don't even think about that, do you? You think about, oh, it's me. I decided not to do it. I made that choice not to do it. Honey, the Spirit of God was keeping you from getting in the mess you tried to get into. You try to get in a lot of stuff, but the hand of God was in your life. You may have more than likely had a dream or something. God probably told you in a dream, or somebody might have even prophesied to you or something, but you don't want to pay him no attention. You don't think that wasn't even right, you know. Oh, no such thing, no such thing. You know, something you have said against it, huh? So therefore, let me tell you, when you make the right choice to obey the Lord, there's going to be some kind of discomfort or pain. You hear me? Obedience to God more than likely would bring discomfort. It's going to bring pain of sorts. See, because you're going to have to do something that you don't want to do. This man here thought he had him a woman, a strange woman, a good-looking strange. She probably looked better than the ones he had there in the place where he was, you see, because she was where? She was a God-fearing woman here. You see what I'm saying? And they are beautiful by themselves. They don't need no makeup. They don't just be themselves, and they beautiful, see? He says that he suffered, I suffered thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. But I like this part. For he is a prophet. Ah, can you hear that? God told him, say, he's a prophet. Huh? And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Now, I'm finna reverse this situation for you. Now, if you don't restore her now, okay, let's see what God say now. Huh? He said now, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shall surely die, thou and all that are thine. Everybody in your house is going to die. Hello? See what I'm saying? Now, what you would do? You going to just go and take her anyhow because your loins are on fire? You going to just take her anyhow? Now, you done got the word. Now, you're going to be like Satan tells Eve in the garden, you shall not surely die. See, he added that, you shall not surely die. Letting them know the die that he talking about is not the die you thinking about. He said, you're a dead man. Okay? A dead man? Are you kidding? I'm a dad? Huh? Listen, he didn't go read around the bush, did he? God did not, he don't have to beat around the bush. He was direct. He was direct, wasn't he?
Yes.
Huh? He said, if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Ain't no maybe about here. Thou and all that are thine. Oh, my God, that could shake you up, can't it? That will make you, well, now, you know, if that don't turn you around, nothing can. You're supposed to go to hell, see? If something like that don't turn you around, you see what I'm talking about? How hard-headed we get, huh? When we want things, think about it this way. When we want things that we should not have, we are so hard-headed. We go beyond to get it. We do anything to get it. It's like I always tell people, and I haven't told them these things in a long time, don't want something so bad you'll do anything to get it. Because when you get into that type of emotional hang-up, you do anything to get what you want. I don't want nothing so bad I'll do anything to get it. I don't want no man so bad that I'm going to go out and go to the witches of Endor. I'll put it that way, huh, to get the man. Because if I do that, I'm going to have to keep going. You see? And keep shoveling out my money just to keep a man when I could just get the man and just give it to him. Huh? See? So, sometimes don't understand when we have to obey God, we have to give up something. We got to sacrifice something when we obey God. You get it? Hmm? Because of what? Pain will bring a gain. But you've got to be able to go through it or want to go through it and not turn around and do what you want to do. See, that's all obedience really is. What is obedience, huh? What is it? Submissive. Hmm? To what will ordinarily restrain you? Hmm? Or it commands authority. Huh? Authority to do something that you were asked to do. Huh? So follow that authority. You will go in the best way you should. Hmm? You see? You won't be falling and stumbling, mumbling and grumbling. You see? You got to learn how to say, obey the voice of God. See? In the first place, you got to know the voice of God to obey it. You say, but I don't know the voice of God. Well, did you ask him to help you hear him and answer him when he called? Have you asked this? Have you stayed on your knees long enough to be familiar with him? Huh? Hello, come on now, think about it. You don't pray enough to get to know him. If you continue your life of in a life of prayer, you will become more intimate with God. And when you get intimate with him, he will whisper in your ear what you need to hear. Hmm? See? And then it's, you can automatically do what? Obey him. See? You can automatically obey it. But then when you obey him, some type of discomfort will come up. Because when he asks you to do something your flesh don't want to do, hello, you know, the flesh say, I don't want to keep myself until I get married. Huh? So you do what? You go the other way, don't you? This is what you do. So you disobey what God said. Ah, hello, come on now. Talk to me. Talk to me. You can talk to me. You don't want to agree with that? Because what? Your flesh is telling you right now, go get you a cigarette or what's that? That weed? Go get some weed. Get high. Hmm? Oh, I got to have it. I got to have it. You ain't got to have nothing. Huh? You choosing to do that. That's your choice. When God is speaking to you, just do something else. Suppose Abimelech hadn't listened. He'd be a dead man and his whole family. Now look what he did in the 8th verse. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants. Hey, I got to sound an alarm up in here because I don't want nobody to get me killed. Hmm? And told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. He said, listen, you see that girl over there? Don't touch that. Don't even go near her. Say, don't you a dead man? And me with it. Hmm? You see, he sounded alarm. Make sure the word of God was being carried out. And then Abimelech called Abraham, said to him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Ooh, the man didn't, he didn't try to butter up nothing, did he? Hmm? You done brought this sin on us. Now, if he'd have touched her, he'd know. He was a dead man, and he had to pay for the sin that he had committed. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. You got me in a pickle here. I should not be in. I don't have to be in this. Hmm? Now, can you talk to yourself today and say, listen, I'm going to obey God at any cost, even if it costs me my life, if it hurts, if it pains me, if it's discomfortable, if it's not comfortable, or if I have to sacrifice something, I'm going to obey God. Can you say that today? Because other than that, you will be doing what? Sinning against God. Because this is what he told him. You're sinning against me. You're coming against me. Not Abraham, but say, taking his wife, but it will be a sin against Almighty God. We need to emphasize that today, because we don't mind, the people of today don't mind sinning against God, saying all kind of things, doing anything they mind tell them to do. But you can tell their mind ain't of Christ, because he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If you didn't allow Jesus' mind to become your mind, then you're going to automatically do what the other fellow tell you to do and sin against God. Huh? See that? Do you get the picture there? Hello? Now, I'm just telling you, that's the way it goes. That's what things happen. Things happen in life today because people don't think about it. Now, let's go on over here. I'm running on right quickly. Over to the 21st chapter of the same Genesis. then we got another situation come about. When Sarah, Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and the Lord, on the first verse, and he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. He's been blessing her. For Sarah conceived, bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Okay. And told him his name and named him Isaac. He named him Frukaduki. You know, all these funny names y'all naming y'all children today. He named something simple somebody could remember. Isaac. He called his name Isaac, okay? And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and as God had commanded him. He was doing everything that God told him to do. But when you go down to the, in the story, in the same scripture, the child grew, and he was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now we coming on down here. Sarah now got her baby, you know, and she ain't got the whole another woman's child, you know, being pain. Now, see, the thing is, she wasn't listening. When God told her she was going to bear a child, she going to bear one, but no, she couldn't wait. You know how y'all live. To get that husband, God said you're going to get a husband, you can't wait. So you get somebody else's husband, huh? Then now you're in trouble. Then you start having babies for that somebody else's husband. Stolen babies. Stolen kids. That's another woman's fruit that you done stole. See? You see what I'm talking about? So here, now she got to deal with Hagar, huh? Because she didn't obey and listen closely to what God was saying. See, she was in the flesh. Now, here she now having children. So she now, that she got Isaac, now she mocking the woman. She talking to the woman. Now, she told Abraham, now, cast that woman out. Get rid of her and her son. I don't want to see neither one of them around here. I got the real son. Well, you should have thought about that in the first place. You know how you make these mistakes by you thinking you know everything, so you just go ahead, baby. Now, I ain't nowhere in the world I'd have told my man to do that now. You can just hang that up. You know, that's plumb out of character, okay? I'm not doing that. I have to not have a mind to do that, okay? Praise God. And so she did, and now she want Abraham to get rid of. Now, this is pain. Now, the Bible says in the 11th verse, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He gotten attached to his son, you see, and it became grievous. All right. And can you imagine the man walking around? I got to get rid of my son. Mom, what's wrong with her? Lord, you know, you men will ask a whole lot of questions to God, but they won't ask that woman, though, will they? And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman in all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He didn't care about you, don't you grievous. God has got a plan here. Huh? And sometimes to be obedient, it makes pain. It brings pain. He was pain. He was grievous. He's sad. He didn't want to do that. This is something, you know, God done told you something that you don't want to do, and you keep reneging on because you don't want to do it. Come on, talk to me now. Talk to me. Just the same way. He didn't want to do that. But God had to speak to Abraham to tell him, listen to her. Now, he got to do something he don't want to do. And he probably going, okay, God, how I do this here? Lord, have mercy. I don't, you know, can you be going around saying, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, your spirit just being vexed with this situation. You see what I'm saying? But he's got to obey God. He know he got to obey God. See? Because God had told him, said in 37, also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. You know, he's not going to lose nothing, but I can't have him growing up with this son. Now, isn't that a strange thing? They had to be separate. You see what I'm saying? But we would say, but they, you know, that's all right. They can grow together, you know, and all that. But, you know, he was the first son. If he'd have stayed there, he would have been treated as the son. Do you get the picture? That was to inherit, and that's not what God had planned. You get the picture here? You see? God has a reason for when there's a separation. No matter how bad it hurts you, like so many times God tell you, leave your family, leave them alone, you know, get out from among them. No, this is my family, and this is my blood, and I get to stay with my blood. Jesus is your blood, too. He is the author of all this blood. When you're going to obey him, he has a plan for you, okay? You see, you got to move according to what God's saying, not how you feel. I don't care if they crying, and cause they will, who be crying? Well, you don't never be with the family, and you always, I done heard it so many times, you always somewhere doing what God knows what. Well, God do know what you doing, cause he told you to do it, so he know where he got you at. They just don't understand when you walk with God. You have to do things that you don't really want to do in the natural, but because God has given you this word, you have to follow it, no matter how painful or who you have to leave behind or what you got to leave behind. Could be houses, land, car, people. And he told you, ain't nobody left no houses, land, mother, father. I say that they ain't been blessed. Double, they have a double blessing in this life and the life to come. He going to make up for it. Huh? See? Regardless of what it is, he's going to make up for it. And the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder. Oh, the poor lady didn't even have a donkey to take it. And the child, and sent her away, and she departed, wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Lord, we should preach about her one day. Just imagine how she felt. Can you just imagine? Huh? See? He had to do, that was a hard task. Don't you think that was hard? That was very hard to do. Huh? That man, I could just imagine tears coming out of his eyes when he had to do that. God always got something real tough for his people, don't he? Huh? You still want to walk with him? You still want to be a preacher? You still want to be a prophet? Do you still want to be one? Now, Abraham was a prophet. Did you hear what the Bible said? God said he was a prophet. Huh? See what I'm saying? So the work wasn't as easy as you think it is. Do you get the picture? We can run on over quickly over here, praise God, to the 22nd, where we take another story and go on down there, and where now he got his son here, and now God put him to another test. And man, God just keep testing this man, don't he? I mean, God put it to him. And each time, whatever God told him to do, what did he do? In obedience, he did. Not murmuring, complaining, he did it. He didn't say, "Why, God?" You know how we do sometimes. Why God? What did it mean? Why God? We always talk about why God. When he told him to take his son, his only son, what did he do? Got his little gear and everything and his knife and everything and took him on up to this mountain where God told him to go at. And he just took him up there, tied him up on the thing, laid him up there on the thing to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? Can you just saying, "Oh, I just got him," and "Oh, my God, God telling me to give him up," sacrifice. I know he got some reason. I don't know what it is. But he did it, didn't he? And when he lifted up the knife to slay his son, I'm just going through quickly now, to slay his son, huh? And that angel, that's what I'm talking about, God working in the nick of time. When you get to the edge, right to the edge of giving up, God sends somebody to rescue you because you dared to obey him. And the Lord seen him obeying him. He said, "You didn't even withhold your only son. You didn't even withhold the son from me." That shows me something, how much you love me. But look at all the blessings after that, all the blessings that he gave him, all that he told him that was his. And listen, the thing is, he got it too. You hear me? He got all them blessings. And guess what? We are the seed of Abraham, and we did too. We received them. We inherited those blessings. Do you get the picture? We inherited those blessings. You know, we can go on and on and on because, let me tell you, Abraham was a blessed man, huh? He was a blessed man. You hear what I'm saying? And God want to bless you too. But you need to obey what he tells you to do and not stop looking at everything else, huh? You look at everything else. Well, you know, we as mothers say, "My children need me." Do they? If God tell you to go to Timbuktu, do that mean you got to sit up there and talk about, "Well, if I told you about somebody that used that excuse to God, and what happened, do you want something to happen to your children?" And the person was very close to me. Years, God tell them to go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. And they say, "Well, I can't because I got to take care of these kids. And I can't because I got to work and take care of these kids." God didn't ask you that. He say go. Because he have a plan to take care of the kids. Now, this very person had almost 10 kids, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? And they did, and they kept saying, reneging on it, and I'm waiting. And one day, and God gave me the vision, and I like to fell out from the vision. All of those kids got burned up in a fire. And I was there, and I seen the person. And they could not cry. They could not do nothing. They was like in another world. And I said, what is the wrong? Why aren't you crying? She said, I can't. Because it's because of me that they are gone. She knew what the problem was. Now God said, now what you going to do? They gone. Now who are you going to put it on now? You see what I'm saying? You never know. When God say you're a dead man, you're a dead man or woman. Do you get the picture? I know it's a sad story. It was hurting. It was a hurting thing to sit there. I was at the funeral, sit there with them 10 caskets across that floor. That's a sad looking sight. It's hurtful, painful. See? But obedience is what God wants, not excuses. Do you get the picture? Hello? God need to put some of that stuff, what he told Abimelech, on some of all these people today. He need to whip them with some of that word. Maybe they'll get in line and maybe they won't, because today their hearts are so hard, like turned to stone. Huh? Is your heart to stone today? I pray not. I pray that you got it together. Okay? Well, you know, I'm going to give it up right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I was just really, yeah. You know, it was real good to me. Praise God. Because when you find out obedience is the best that you can do for God. See? Understand who's talking to you. See, the problem is we think we always talking. We don't give God time to talk. Well, the Lord told me to do so and so and so. Well, how can he tell you to do something if you don't never listen? And you always talking.
Amen.
Think about it. Have you been into a silent place, a secluded spot where you can meditate on God? And then while you're talking to him, you stop talking and you start listening. I know. But you just don't know. Turn the telephone off. Take the cell phone and put it somewhere. And you go by yourself. Hey, the call will wait. They'll wait. Huh? But we so busy, you know. But I turn the TV on. Well, I got to have the TV on. I got to have the telephone. You ain't got to have none of that stuff. How are you going to meditate on God with all this? I'm meddling now, ain't I? Praise God. Hallelujah. Obedience is what God wants. When you do that, watch everything fall into place.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank God for the word from the apostle. And you know, I was sitting here thinking about that Abimelech story. And you know, when God tell you you're going to be a dead man, you got to listen. You know, there's a lot of people walking around here now in that Abimelech spirit, where God done talked to them and told them not to do this and don't touch this and don't touch that. But do they listen? That's the whole problem. Do they listen? Well, all they do is listen to themselves. You know, when God talked to us, do we listen? See, that's a whole other situation in itself. You know, when God tells us don't, these days we do. Because we can't get self out the way. All we know is what self want. All we know is it don't even have to be a fleshly thing. Self always something. Self always want a new car. Self always want this. Self always want this. Self always want that. And you know, and it made me think about when me and Apostle seen the news this morning about this dress at Lord and Taylor. With Lord and Taylor photobombed everybody that these girls loved this dress. So the people ran to Lord and Taylor and they sold out the dress because they had to have it. Okay. They got tricked, but they had to have it because they figured these people said they loved the dress, so they got to get it too. You understand? Because self decide they want that dress because they got to have it. Not knowing that these people that was on the Instagram was paid to do it, to say this. They was paid to wear the dress. They wasn't customers. And you see, this is how the people of today are looking and how they're going at things. They got to have it. As apostles say, they long-eyed. They got to have it. See, that's self. That's being, how you say it, that's being a follower also. You're also following things that all these other people won't. And seeing a lot of people follow sin like that because they figure sin looks good. Sin feels good. Right, better, yeah, as the apostles say, better than church. And, you know, we got to think about these things, you know, because all we doing is we're putting God on the back burner. God want to be first. God is a jealous God. How are we going to put clothes ahead of God? Mm-hmm. You can't even get half them people to come to church, pay their tithes. But they'll go out there and spend their last dollar on a dress. You know, and that's what happens, you know. And I think about these things, you know, about what's going on today and how people do these things. You know, and you know, it's not a man or a woman thing, but it's not a woman thing. It's a man thing, too, because men do the same thing. You know, we're not saying that, but I was just using that for an illustration because I saw that this morning. And then Apostle came with this word here about Abimelech when he was told not to, but he obeyed. God scared the life back in him because he was finna die. His whole house was going to die. Now, suppose we get that word today. If one of us were to get that word today, can we follow it? Can we understand it? You know, and the thing about it, God talks to a lot of us. We don't follow instructions. We want to do our own thing. And, you know, that's what I'm here to tell you. Follow God. Follow what the word of God says. Bishop.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. I tell you, the word is powerful. You know, and as Dave was ministering, I was just thinking how much we, you know, regardless of how much we love God, is certain temptations are is very special to overcome. What you mean by that? You know, we talking about Abimelech, you know, but God, don't tell me that God don't deal with the unsaved. Now, here's a man outside of God, praise God, and here's a man of faith, and he had a bad problem, and his problem was lying. Hello, somebody. And he lied, not the first time that Abraham told that lie. He lied when he was approaching Egypt, man, and he told Sarah to, you know, you're a fair woman. You know, when they look at you, they're going to want to take you, see, and just tell them that you are my sister. And where can you find that, Bishop? You'll find it over in Genesis chapter 12, start at verse 11 and go all the way down. Praise God. And so that wasn't the first time he told a lie. He told that lie more than one time, and that was his weakness. Here's a man of faith. Here's a man who was a friend of God. Here's a man that obeyed God. Oh, y'all done got quiet now. Uh-huh. But, oh, now, what are you lacking? Praise God. This is what Apostle and Deacon Michael is trying to tell you. It's some things that we have to work on in our own private life. Amen. To do some soul searching. Praise God. Ain't that what it's all about? Praise God. But, oh, God dealt, amen, with Abimelech. God dealt with Pharaoh. Praise God, he dealt with the men. Amen. And God will deal, amen. Don't say that you don't have a conscience. Amen. The saved and the unsaved. Amen. God will deal with you. Praise God. Amen. He will trouble your soul. Praise God. And this is what happened. See, but see, because he got away with it, that first lie. Praise God, and he was accepted into Pharaoh's house. Man, and even when he left, he gave him sheep, gave him cattle, gave him, praise God, everything. Why? Because God sent pledges there in Egypt, praise God, and dealt with Pharaoh the same way he did with Abimelech. Why? Because God was on his side, praise God. Even though sometimes we may have that weakness, God know our hearts. Praise God, and God had to deal with Abraham. Amen. Now, what do we have to come up in? I'm bringing it down, amen, to you and I now. What do you and I have to come up? Amen. And this is what it's all about. That's why, amen, we need to keep up praying a repentant spirit, and amen, and continue to call out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all about him. He said, amen, if you call me, I will answer. Praise God. He's always right there. Amen. Ain't you glad about it today? Praise God. You know, he's watching, amen, over every one of us. Thank God, amen, that he is. Amen. He never sleep, nor he slumber. Praise God. The same way he watched over Abraham. Amen. God bless you today. May heaven continue to smile on you. Jesus love you, and Bishop love you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I tell you. Tell me you all ain't got blessed by that word. Tell me you all didn't. I tell you, that was an awesome word from Apostle Porter, Bishop Porter, and Deacon Michael. I tell you, test being tested and being obedient, and test meaning something that manifests the person's real character. So after you go, while you're going through that test, are you going to be obedient? And the meaning of obedience is submission to authority. Do we know we're being tested today? Can we recognize that we are being tested today? But one thing I like what Apostle talked about is how we, in turn, God turned that message around where you begin to preach to yourself. To yourself. When you think you're preaching to somebody else, and you begin to preach that word, and you recognize it's to yourself. So today, let's pass our test. Let's go through it like a bold soldier. I tell you, because you know what? When you come through that test, it's nothing but blessings. And throughout the Bible, you see how God tests each and every one of his people. And just like he tests Abimelech, and he, in turn, he was obedient. But Pharaoh, he wasn't hearing nothing. He was going to be that I am God. But God showed him who was the real I am. So you know what? You tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. I tell you, you missed some word. Better yet, you can even visit us every Sunday at 1 p.m. and every Tuesday night for Bible Talk at 6 p.m. And I'm going to give you that address. That's 313-25-CR-437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. That's 313-25-CR-437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776, and believe me, you can get more of that word. But until then, you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That calling number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can tune in every Friday night at 11 p.m. to hear a hosted by our very own Elder Willett. I tell you, the Wailing Walls prayer line, you come on there wailing, praying like never before. That call-in number is 218-548-6746, code 3333 pound. That's 218
548-6746, code 3333 pound. It's every Friday night at 11 p.m. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Mike, What I'm Just Saying. That calling number is 917-889-2211. That's 917-889-2211. That's every Monday at 3 p.m. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, a peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at that thing.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I
let God,
let him have. So much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go,
I let go, and
I can let God,
let
him have,
let God
have his way. That's
when things start happening, I stop looking at that.
Oh, when I let go,
I let go.
Let
God,
let him have,
let
go, let God, let go, and let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go,
let go,
and let God,
let God,
oh, let go,
let go,
and let God,
let God.
He's the only one with the answer.
Let go,
just let God,
let God.
He can handle it all, yes,
let
man.
Go,
let God,
let God.
With tears in your eyes,
let go,
let God.
Let God.
Your pain,
let go.
And he knows your heart,
let go.
He knows